RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can also listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz. Or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id.
Hello listeners, welcome back to our English program of our Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Today's edition will bring you first our news, followed by press review, Today in History, Focus, Indonesian Wonder, and we'll continue our segment with Miscellany. And to conclude our program for today, we'll present you our daily segment, Music Corner. That was our program summary for today. This is Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Stand by now for the news.
Voice of Indonesia with the news.
Here's the news read by Rahman Afus, the headlines. King Salman's visit to Bali expected to boost Arab tourists. Indonesia and Saudi Arabia to fund counter-terrorism team. Indonesia next border cooperation to eradicate drug trade. Now the news in detail. Saudi King Salman bin Abdul Aziz Al Saud's visit for happy holidays in Bali is expected to help boosting the number of Arab tourists to the most famous island of Indonesia. Tourism Minister Arif Yahya assured that the visit of King Salman to Bali would be able to increase 50% of the number of Arab tourists to Bali from 240,000 people in 2016 to 360,000 tourists this year. To support all the publication regarding the King's visit in Bali, both domestically and internationally, Minister of Tourism even cuts 50% of his budget of tourism promotion with the usual cooperation with Al Jazeera, a Doha-based state-funded broadcaster. Regarding the visit, Bali provincial government has made various preparations, including welcoming ceremony, facilities and accommodation, as well as security personnel, to ensure that the King and his delegates would be pleased and comfortable during their stay in Bali. The National Police, Polri, will phone a team to follow up the Memorandum of Understanding, MOU, signed by Indonesian Police Chief General Tito Karnavian and Saudi Arabian Police Chief Lieutenant General Othman Inasir Al-Mahraj on Wednesday. The National Police spokesperson Martinus Tompul said that the team will work on details on the cooperation between the two countries, particularly those related to counter-terrorism efforts. Martin also pointed out that the National Police will coordinate with related agencies such as the National Counter-Terrorism Agency BNPT, the National Intelligence Team BINT, and the Strategic Intelligence Agency to formulate the cooperation. The Memorandum of Understanding, Martin added, will facilitate the bureaucracy of counter-terrorism efforts. Indonesia is required to cooperate with the International Criminal Police Organization Interpol before taking actions against crimes committed in Saudi Arabia. Indonesia has carried out a serious effort in eradicating drugs in its own region. This was announced by United Nations Office on Drugs and Crime, UNODC Program Office Indonesia Country Manager Koli Ed Brown during a launching of INCB Annual Report 2016. Yet Koli reminded that Indonesia is part of ASEAN, where drug trade and network tends to target the countries with border control.
I think Indonesia is doing a pretty good job in terms of its efforts around interdiction. But it's also an area, I think, that requires vigilance across the region because Indonesia isn't in a vacuum. Indonesia is part of the ASEAN group of countries where we do find that networks and trafficking networks do tend to exploit areas in other countries that are vulnerable in terms of border controls and so on.
Therefore, Koli said that inter-region cooperation is needed in order to create an integrated international border control which is able to control the trade of drugs and precursors. Koli added a continued vigilance towards the emerging patterns and threats from the drug neck wart is also very necessary because they can change their pattern and tactics anytime. Raising the team Unity in Diversity as the spirit carried out by European Union and ASEAN Society, the participants also attached short narration. More than 700 photos participate in this exhibition and 10 winners have been chosen in based on originality, creativity and strong messages from the photos. The assessment process was conducted by European Union delegation in ASEAN Regional, including the Ambassador of European Union for ASEAN. Rianto Frederico Dalopez, a student of Mathematics Department of ASEAN University Makassar, South Sulawesi, has received a award directly given by European Union Ambassador to ASEAN. Rianto is a very touched and happy because he does not have his own camera.
I just want to say thank you very much because this achievement is very crucial for me because I don't have a camera and this is my big achievement, I think. So thank you very much for having me in this place.
The winner's photo collection and other photos which were highly selected in this competition will be exhibited at the lobby of ASEAN Secretariat until 15th of March. On March 3, 2017, United Nations Office on Drugs and Crime, UNODC, and International Narcotics Control Board, INCB, launched the INCB Annual Report 2016 at United Nations Information Center in Jakarta. The report raised several important themes. One of them is the issue of women and drugs. Professor Dr. Sri Suryawati, the reporter of INCB, explained that one of third of global drug users are women and only one-fifth of them receive treatment and rehabilitations. Besides, there was height on overdose females.
Dari yang diketahui sepertiga dari pengguna obat itu wanita itu hanya seperlimanya yang...
As known, one-third of drug users are female, only one-fifth of them get medication. Besides, the dosage is increasing in different patterns. Normally, the more one is addicted, the greater dosage is. However, the data says that there are suddenly a lot of females who are overdosed. We haven't found the reason. Furthermore, on treatments for female users, Professor Suryawati said that the access for women must be increased, both by the provider and the family of the users. Because there are still many families who tend to hide their daughters out of shame, especially among mid-lower class. In addition, Professor Suryawati mentioned that the cases of drugs involved in women were increasing in terms of numbers and complexity. Therefore, INCB recommends the government to pay special attention to the women. 28 delegates of Saudi Arabia that had become part of state visit of King of Saudi Arabia Salman bin Abdulaziz Al Saud to Indonesia since 1st until 9th of March 2017 visited the Indonesian Institute of Sciences LIPI in Jakarta on Friday to meet LIPI's top leaders. The Saudi Arabian delegates are led by Abdullah bin Fad Al Hussein. Chairman of LIPI Iskandar Sukaran appreciated the attendance of Saudi Arabian delegates expected to open the opportunity of scientific research in the future.
Ini merupakan suatu kehormatan bagi LIPI yang dikunjungi oleh satu delegasi yang begitu banyak.
This is a great honor for LIPI to be visited by many Saudi Arabian delegates. We hope that the visit will be an initiation cooperation in the future. Scientifically, there has not been cooperation between LIPI and Saudi Arabia, but LIPI researchers still continue their study at university in Saudi Arabia. It is a pleasure for LIPI to meet delegates of Saudi Arabia here. We hope that there will be such cooperation, especially in scientific research that has been LIPI's duty to be materialized sometime. Meanwhile, Chairman of Saudi Arabian delegates Abdullah bin Fad Al Hussein said that Saudi Arabian Education Ministry had signed Memorandum of Understanding with Indonesian Minister of Technology and Research and Higher Education on 1st of March 2017. Abdullah expects that research cooperation between the two countries can be materialized and be maintained well. United Nations Office on Drugs and Crime, UNODC, and International Narcotic Control Board, INCB, on March 2017 in Jakarta released the INCB Annual Report 2016, which discussed important themes on drugs and psychotropic abuse. One of the themes was the use of psychotropic substances for medical purposes. On the issue, the reporter of INCB, Professor Dr. Sri Suryawati, mentioned that the availability of psychotropic substances for medical purposes must meet the need. However, such availability in Indonesia is still low due to the worries faced by doctors in prescribing the substances.
Ternyata riset-riset akademik menemukan bahwa ada juga kekhawatiran dokter.
In fact, academic researchers found that there is worry among doctors to prescribe the psychotropic substance because they are afraid of being interrogated by drug abusers who pretend their illness. The same case was also experienced by pharmacists, which result in low availability of medical psychotropic substances in Indonesia. Furthermore, Professor Suryawati explained that despite of high demand, INCB cannot force Indonesia to increase its psychotropic supply because the country will need to improve its distribution security system and to create the sense of security among doctors and pharmacists to prescribe and supply the substances. The last item, the Air Force Chief of Staff Marshal Hadi Cahyanto said that the Indonesian Air Force will soon upgrade its T-50I Golden Eagle fighter jets to step up the country's air security. He further said that the radar system for the fighter jets, which belongs to the Air Squadron 15 at the Iswadi Air Base, still needs to be upgraded. He added that it is very important to upgrade the T-50I Golden Eagle fighter jets as the country has a very large territory. He remarked that in the middle of the second phase of the strategy plan from 2015 to 2019, the fighter jets will be able to perform their operational tasks, including patrolling and securing the air over Papua and other eastern parts of Indonesia more properly. The Indonesian Air Force is currently operating 15 out of 16 T-50I Golden Eagle fighter jets. That's news over the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
Various significant events that occurred this week have been reviewed in the editorials of some of the leading media published in Jakarta and are outlined in the press review of Voice of Indonesia. Let's start from Kompas Daily, which is in its editorial on Friday 3 March 2017, wrote, "Statesmen, please be an example." The press announcement given by the Corruption Eradication Commission spokesman that there are still 5 constitutional judges who had not yet reported their wealth surprised everyone. The obligation to submit asset reports for state official is mandatory for the reform. It was stated in the People Consultative Assembly Decree in 1998 on clean and free from corruption, collusion and nepotism state official, which was then incorporated into law. The spirit of the law is to prevent corruption by state officials. Therefore, it is reasonable that KPK spokesman Febri Diansyah was questioning the commitment of the Constitutional Court in combating corruption. The commission indication has sociological foundation since there were 2 Constitutional Court judges arrested by KPK. Chief Justice Akil Muhtar was sentenced to life imprisonment by the court for corruption, while a constitutional judge, Patrialis Akbar, was arrested and now still under examination by the KPK. According to Kompas, with such a high constitutional position, it is unfortunate if the constitutional judges do not fully perform their role as the guardian of the constitution and ignore the obligation to submit a report of their wealth. The constitutional judges should give examples and become a role model to the nation. Turning to Business Indonesia Daily, in its editorial on 2 March 2016, the paper wrote, "Eyeing air passengers in the Middle East." The plan of state-owned enterprises for airport management PT Angkasa Pura I, which managed 13 airports in central and eastern Indonesia, to develop 6 airports with an investment of 54 trillion rupiah is a strategic decision referring to the trend of increasing number of airline passengers. Data released by the Central Statistics Agency in early February 2017 on the development of the number of air transport passengers in 2016 is at least a positive signal on air transport demand. It also shows the magnitude of the development prospects of air transport, especially in the central and eastern region. This to provide positive impact on the performance of the airport management through revenues from aeronautical as well as non-aeronautic services. Newspaper hopes the six airports development program will increasingly spur economic movement of Central and Eastern Indonesia. So, more than just improving connectivity and facilitating accessibility, development of airport is expected to spur investment in tourism, accommodation, transportation, telecommunication, property, and other economic sectors. According to Business Indonesia, the impact of the airport development following the passing effect in mobilizing small and medium-scale enterprises and employment in the region should be calculated as well. Well, it's not that was brief review of Radio Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Today in history. A compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Hello, listener, wherever you are. Welcome back to Today in History. We begin with an event which occurred on March 4, 1977, when Francia earthquake occurred. The 1977 Francia earthquake occurred on 4th of March, 1997, and was felt throughout the Balkans. It had a magnitude of 7.2 Richter scale, making it the second most powerful earthquake to be recorded in Romania in the 20th century, after 10 November 1940 seismic event. The epicenter was situated in the Francia Mountains, the most seismically active part of Romania. The earthquake killed about 1,500 people in Romania and wounded more than 11,300. The next event is that when Robert Mugabe became the first black prime minister in Zimbabwe. Robert Gabriel Mugabe is a Zimbabwean revolutionary and politician who has governed the Republic of Zimbabwe as his president since 1987, having previously governed as his prime minister from 1980 to 1987. Ideologically an African nationalist and socialist, he has led the Zimbabwe African National Union Patriotic Front Party since 1975. Azona Mugabe was born to a poor family in Kutama, Southern Rhodesia. Following an education at Kutama College and the University of Fort Hare, he worked as a teacher in Southern Rhodesia, Northern Rhodesia, and Ghana. Being angry that Southern Rhodesia was a British colony governed by the white elite, Mugabe embraced Marxism and joined African national protests calling for an independent state with the black-led government. After making anti-government comments, he was convicted of sedition and imprisoned between 1964 and 1974. On his release, he fled to Mozambique and established his leadership of the Zimbabwe African National Union, SANU, and oversaw SANU activities during Rhodesian Bush word to overthrow the white minority Rhodesian government of Ian Smith. He reluctantly took place in the peace of negotiation brokered by the United Kingdom that resulted in the Lansker House Agreement. The agreement dismantled white minority rule and resulted on 4th March 1980 general election, at which Mugabe led SANU to victory and became prime minister. Rhodesia was renamed Zimbabwe, and despite Mugabe's professed Marxist desire to create a socialist society, his administration adhered to conservative economic policies. And the last event is that in 1992, coup trial of Chavez in Venezuela occurred. Hugo Rafael Chavez Frias led coup d'etat against President Venezuela Carlos Andreas Perez, but failed. He and some his friends were arrested. Finally, they were released 2 years later. In 1998, Chavez participated in the general election, and in 1999, he became president of Venezuela until 2013. Listener, that was Today in History, read by Rahmana.
Today in History, a compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Focus, daily news and events.
This is Radio World Service Voice of Indonesia with Focus. Today, it's on French Forms Renewable Energy Entrepreneurs Group in Indonesia. French Renewable Energy Group, or FREG, was officially launched at the Ministry of Energy and Mineral Resources in Jakarta Tuesday, February 28. It is a group of French energy companies operating in Indonesia today and French entrepreneurs who are interested in the sector of renewable energy, or EBT, in the country. The launch was witnessed by French Minister of Foreign Affairs and International Development Jean-Marc Ayrault and Indonesian Minister of Energy and Mineral Resources Ignatius Jonan. The group becomes the representative of French Syndicates of Renewable Energy, the largest organization of new and renewable energy in France today. In his speech, Minister Jean-Marc Ayrault said that the creation of this group has become a subject of discussion between the governments of Indonesia and France since 2016. The goal is to gather French energy companies to cooperate with Indonesia in the field of new and renewable energy. According to the minister, new renewable energy potential in Indonesia is quite large, so is the market. According to him, in Indonesia, the demand for electrical energy is rising sharply in line with the rapid economic development. In addition to the launching of FREG, on the same day with French Foreign Minister also signed two agreements, namely with FREG for Indonesia Charter and the French Renewable Energy Priority Export Group and French Renewable Energy Industry Association. There were also a memorandum of understanding between the Indonesian Renewable Energy Society, or METI, and the French Renewable Energy Association. According to Minister Ayrault, the signing of the MOU signifies the commitment in climate mitigation and to determine a solution together. Meanwhile, Indonesian Minister of Energy and Mineral Resources Ignatius Jonan said that Indonesia is committed to having at least 20% of renewable energy in the electricity energy mix as soon as possible, or at least in 2025. He hopes FREG can improve business-to-business contract between Indonesia and France, in particular for renewable energy sector, and encourage the participation of French companies in the renewable energy project in Indonesia. Minister Jonan also said that the electricity tariff of renewable energy in Indonesia is still too high. For that matter, Indonesia has much to learn from France, which is advanced in the implementation of renewable energy at an affordable price. That was Focus for today.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You're still with us, RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz for English program. You can also listen to our broadcast on internet at en.voi.co.id.
Here news in brief, read by Rahmana. Saudi King Salman bin Abdulaziz Al Saud's visit for Happy Holidays in Bali is expected to help boost in the number of Arab tourists to the most famous island of Indonesia. Indonesia has carried out a serious effort in eradicating drugs in its own region. This was announced by the United Nations Office on Drugs and Crime, UNODC Program Office Indonesian Country Manager Coley A. Brown during the launching of INCBNO Report 2016. Raising the theme Unity in Diversity as the spirit carried out by European Union and ASEAN Society, the participants also attached short narration. More than 700 reporters participated in this competition, and 10 winners had been chosen in base of originality, creativity, and strong messages from the photos. On March 3, 2017, United Nations Office on Drugs and Crime, UNODC, and International Narcotics Control Board, INCB, launched the INCB Annual Report 2016 at United Nations Information Center in Jakarta. 28 delegates of Saudi Arabia that had begun part of state visit of King of Saudi Arabia Salman bin Abdulaziz Al Saud to Indonesia since 1st until 9th of March 2017 visited the Indonesian Institute of Sciences LIPI in Jakarta on Friday to meet LIPI staff leaders. United Nations Office on Drugs and Crime, UNODC, and International Narcotics Control Board, INCB, on March 3, 2017. In Jakarta released the ICB Annual Report 2016, which discussed important themes on drugs and psychotropic abuse. The Air Force Chief of Staff Marshal Hadi Cahyanto said that the Indonesian Air Force will soon upgrade its T-50I Golden Eagle fighter jets to step up the country's air security. That's news in brief from the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
You still tune to Voice of Indonesia broadcasting daily from Jakarta on frequency of 9525 kHz. You can also listen through our audio streaming at www.voi.co.id. Listeners, here is our next segment, Indonesian Wonder.
Let's listen to various information of Indonesian arts and culture in a daily segment of Indonesian Wonder.
Hello listener, welcome to Indonesian Wonder, a daily segment featuring tourism, culinary arts, fine arts, and culture from various regions across Indonesia. In today's edition, we will introduce you to one of tourism destinations in North Kalimantan Province. Stay tuned. Listeners, Somolon Waterfall is the biggest and the most unique hot spring in Kalimantan. As tourism spot and recreation, the place often becomes a place of pre-wedding photograph season. Not only local tourists but also foreign tourists know and go to Somolon Waterfall. Listeners, Somolon Waterfall is located at Paking Village, Mentarang Sub-District, Malinau, Regency, North Kalimantan Province. The location of this waterfall has a distance around 44 kilometers from Malinau City. To go to this waterfall takes around 1.5 hours until 2 hours from Malinau City. Along the trip, you can enjoy green trees which are spread beautifully. The shape of the waterfall is like stairs and no smell of silver. Every stairs of Somolon Water has high around 2 meters. Every tourist is free to climb the stairs to feel the freshness of water of Somolon Waterfall. Listeners, Somolon Waterfall has 2 springs. At the left, it is cold spring, while at the right, it is hot spring. According to local people, its hot spring can treat various kinds of diseases, especially skin diseases. The tourism object has some facilities such as toilet, gazebo, meeting room, sport field, and cottage. The tourists can stay at night here while enjoying fresh air and Dayak traditional dance. Tourism office plans to build additional facilities such as children camping ground, outdoor area, cycling area, and many others. Well, listener, that was Indonesian Wonder for today featuring Semoran Waterfall. Thank you for listening and sampai jumpa. Thank you for still being with us, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. If you have any suggestion or criticism, please drop us a line to Voice of Indonesia, PO Box 1157 Jakarta, or to our email address at english@voi.co.id. Listeners, now let's listen to our segment Miscellany.
Miscellany.
Miscellany on Indonesia, a segment featuring various actual information.
Hello, listener of RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, wherever you are. Welcome back with me, Andika, in Miscellany. Listener, Indonesia has lots of languages, tribes, customs, tradition, natural and culinary destinations. West Sumatra, one of the regions in Indonesia, has beautiful scenery and various culture. Every region in West Sumatra is very dense with its own culture and tradition. For example, West Pasaman Regency has gold yarn embroidery. Miscellany for today's edition will inform me about gold yarn embroidery. Listener, West Pasaman is known as its beautiful handicrafts that come from generation to generation and have their own market in West Sumatra, especially in embroidery. The embroidery or making embroidery is the way to give or add effect on the finished sewing. Initially, the fabric looks very simple, but it will be more beautiful after being given embroidery on several spots, such as for bed linen, tablecloth, wall decoration, and many more. Besides using hand, the embroidery can be done by sewing machine or computer embroidery machine. Usually, the kinds of yarn used to make embroidery are the one like wool, linen, silk, cotton, or rayon, even gold yarn. The gold yarn embroidery is well known for its various motifs that have philosophy. These motifs usually come from natural or geometrical motifs such as lines or circles that have specific meaning for the people. Due to its beautifulness, the West Pasaman government in West Sumatra eagerly makes gold yarn embroidery from air bangis as the West Pasaman's icon. Listener, chairman of Air Bangis Gold Yarn Embroidery Community, Feli, said that the embroideries in Air Bangis, Sungai Beremas district are the descendant of former embroideries. The gold yarn embroidery of Air Bangis is admitted for its beauty and it is quite expensive. Take for example, a pillowcase costs 1 million rupiah, because it is handmade and made of embroidery's creativity. V Valley reminds that before buying, the buyer should order first because the embroidery takes longer time. It can be more than 1 month process. Well, listener, that was Miscellany for today's edition with the topic The Gold Yarn Embroidery of Air Bangis Becomes the West Pasaman's Icon. We will see you again in another interesting topic. Bye!
Meet again tomorrow with another miscellany on Indonesia.
Music Corner, presenting various kinds of Indonesian music and songs from the Voice of Indonesia.
Hello, it's Naro Ferreri, this Voice of Indonesia, wherever you are. Welcome back with me, Andika, in Music Corner, musical segment which introduce you to Indonesian music, either traditional or modern one. In this edition, we will introduce you to an Indonesian group band, Leto. This group was established in Yogyakarta in 2004 with personnel Noah in vocalist, Patup as guitarist, Aryan as bassist, and Dedot as drummer. Earlier, they were a group of friendship in senior high school in Yogyakarta. After they separated due to study activities, finally they meet again and work together. To initiate our segment Music Corner, let's listen to a song entitled Ruang Rindu.
Mengalir lembut terbawa sungai ke ujung mata dan aku mulai takut terbawa cinta menghirup rindu yang sesakkan dada jalanku hampa dan ku sentuh dia terasa hangat. Oh, di dalam hati ku pegang erat dan ku halangi waktu tak urung jua ku lihatnya pergi. Tak pernah ku ragu dan selalu ku ingat kelingan matamu dan sentuhan hangat. Ku saat itu takut mencari makna tumbuhkan rasa yang sesakkan dada.
Listener, the first song entitled Ruang Rindu is a hit song of Leto's first album entitled Truth, Cry, and Lie. The album, which was released in 2006, received an award for category of newcomer album from SCTV Music Award 2007. The song tells about somebody who feels love that has not been revealed yet, so the meeting only happened at nostalgic room. A song is full of beautiful lyrics and poetic. Earlier, Leto released Pili album in 2004, but at that time, this group was still with the name Leto, only one T. The lyric and rhythm of the song are combined with vocal character of strong mellow neo, which makes songs of this group to be received well at musical market, not only in Indonesia, but also in neighboring countries. Ruang Rindu and Sandaran Hati succeed to be the top in music chart at several radio stations of Malaysia at that time. This album also received Planet Music 2007 award as the best musical group in Singapore on 8 June 2007. In 2015, the song of Ruang Rindu in Japanese version was sung by Hiroaki Kato. Listener, let's listen to the next song entitled Sebelum Cahaya.
Tonight.
listeners, the song is the hit song of Leto's second album entitled Don't Make Me Sad, which was launched on 16 August 2007. The song tells about someone who is lonely because she is left by her boyfriend. Part of result of album sales was dedicated by Leto to make Book of Braille Letter. Another song which attracts to be heard from this album entitled Permintaan Hati. Then, Leto released some albums such as Leto Logica in 2009, Cinta Bersabarlah in 2011, and some single songs. The song of Cinta Bersabarlah as if Leto requests to their fans to be patient to wait for Leto's works. Along their career in Indonesian music world, Leto also received platinum certificate for their songs. Well, listener, to conclude our segment Music Corner for today, let's listen to two songs entitled Dalam Duka and Sandaran Hati. Thank you for listening and sampai jumpa.
Dalam suka, ku percaya kau kan bisa menemani dengan cinta. Dalam duka, ku bertanya bagaimana dalam hatimu bicara. Cerita yang kita punya takkan ada jika tak percaya. Dan saat hilang nafasmu, ku kan ada, ku di sana menemanimu selalu. Dalam cinta, ku bertanya sampai mana rasa ini kan dicoba. Tak percaya di saat hampa hari, di saat hampa hatimu, ku kan ada, ku di sana menemanimu selalu. Di saat hilang jalanmu dan saat hilang nafasmu, ku kan ada, ku di sana. My name.
Radio Republik of Indonesia's World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
Presenting actual news, all Indonesian songs, current issues, and entertainment. Broadcasting daily from the fourth floor of RRS building on Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat number 4 and 5, Jakarta.
Listen live to www.voi.co.id.
Yakinkah ku berdiri di empat tanpa tepi? Bolehkah aku mendengarmu? Terkubur dalam emosi, tak bisa bersembunyi. Aku dan nafasku merindukanmu.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You're still with us, RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz for English program. You can also listen to our broadcast on internet at en.voi.co.id.
jatuh aku dalam keindahan penantian. Terucap keraguan hati yang bimbang, yang terhalang kepastian cinta. Yang tersimpan suci tak bertuan. Terasa kerinduan hati yang bimbang, yang terhempas kepastian cinta.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz and 11785 kHz for English program, or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id. Send your criticism and suggestions to en.voi.co.id, or send your letter to Voice of Indonesia, RRI World Service, Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat, No. 4 and 5, Jakarta, or P.O. Box 1157, Jakarta 10011, Indonesia. And join us on Facebook, Voice of Indonesia, and Twitter, VoI Indonesia.